Hello, cocktail lovers. Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about the trends and traditions of drinking in France. Now, I have a guest that I'm super excited to be talking to today. I know I say that every time, but that's because I really have awesome people come onto the show. I've got Ejiri Aki here in the audience. And those of you who like Paris and you know are quite familiar with what's going on in the maybe the Instagram world, you probably know her as Madame de la Maison. And I just love her feed. It's got such great style. So just a little bit about her. She is co-author of the New York Times bestseller, Where's Carl? She's worked as a stylist and on fashion exhibitions for the Metropolitan Museum of Art and the Museum of the City of New York. And after moving here to Paris, she started a successful lifestyle brand, Madame de la Maison, and it focuses on objects for the table, which I think all of you know, that is really my jam. I love that kind of stuff. Especially what she does, which is goes to and just finds all this really cool vintage and antique stuff. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Ejiri. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now, I just gave a quick rundown on your background. Is there anything else that you want to tell the listeners about you?
No, I think you captured it nicely. I've lived here for 12 years and doing all those different things. So I think that was perfect.
Cool. And now, so Madame de la Maison, it's a lifestyle brand. And I know that you really believe in not saving the nice things for a later date. Can you kind of, I love that. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about the ethos behind your brand? And also, I really want to expound on that because it's a problem I have. Like, I always buy nice things for the table, and I'm talking about like objects or ingredients and think, I'm going to save that for that real special date. And then, you know, it just sits there. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I it started because, you know, I kind of tell the story in the book about not saving the good china because, you know, growing up, my mother had this beautiful wedding china that she loved and used, loved and never used. And I wanted to use it. I thought it was so beautiful. I thought it was special. And she died without ever getting to use that wedding china. And so, you know, I kind of tell that story as a base for something that, you know, a lesson that I've learned in the sense of like, you know, if we buy objects that we love, that we find beautiful, that bring us joy, you know, they shouldn't just be sitting in a closet collecting dust. Like, we should be using them. I'm a big advocate for also finding multiple uses for things. So, you know, sometimes we buy super specialized objects or we think they're beautiful and then we're kind of like, oh, we don't have any reason to use them. Find another reason to use them. Something so basic, but like, you know, if you buy like a special gravy pot, well, you can put your side dishes in that, you know, tea saucers, you can use those, you know, under a plant, put sushi around them. There's many different things, but if you buy objects, for your table, they should be used, you know, especially if they make you happy and bring you joy. There's no point in saving them.
Yeah. Well, also listeners, so if you follow the Madame de la Maison account on Instagram, you will see there's lots of great ideas. And when you said tea saucer, it made me think of it. You'd put up something recently that did have like five or six different things that you can do with a tea saucer. And, you know, you find these ones and they're so adorable. It's nice to be able to pull them out and use them for something else besides tea, because quite honestly, my friends don't come over for tea very often, but they might come over for sushi. So I love that.
Exactly. Well, so that's a great point. That's a great point about not saving things, because also it's like, if you have this big, beautiful tea set and, you know, yes, like you're saying, we're not all having like a big epic tea party with 10 people every week, but we might find that pattern or that, you know, that china that we bought somewhere really pretty. So there's many reasons you can even use the cup and the saucer if you want, you know, for your sauce or a side dish or something. So, you know, there's just no point in saving these things, like collecting dust away in the closet. I think it's a metaphor for life. Also, you can apply it to many areas of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Now, let's talk a little bit about something that's also very exciting is you have a book coming out, Joie. And that is also about kind of celebrating these things that make you happy and bring you joy. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Yes. So my book, Joie, A Parisian's Guide to Celebrating the Good Life, is a book that I conceived during the middle of COVID. I was, in a house, not able to kind of tap into the joy that I realized, I realized I was missing out on the joy that I had kind of really learned in my time living in Paris. And I started to kind of write all these things down and these lessons that I've learned. And I started to realize that, there's something, there's a way that the French operate. And, my friend Ziva sort of like helped me realize that like, it's the like joy, joie de vivre is the North Star of a French person. It's what guides them. It's what makes them choose, what makes them say no, what makes them say yes, what makes them, find pleasure in things. And it's very simple, simple, simple stuff. So I kind of break it down into different categories and, themes, but it's really amazing when you start to realize that, a lot of the things about the French that we find annoying, charming, amusing are usually guided by, them finding joy in their life every day, even just a tiny, tiny bit.
That's great. And of course, leave it to Ziva to like kind of point something out like that, who is also awesome. I will put a link to her in the show notes as well, because as you know, I just saw her this morning and she's always quite inspirational to me. So,
She's so good at, like connecting dots. Cause I kept talking about joy. Like they have, like what is this joy? And she was like, well, it's kind of like a North Star, isn't it? And I was like, you know what? That's it. It's a North Star. It's their value. It's their value system.
Yeah. Which I think is a very worthwhile North Star, right? I mean, isn't that what we're all looking for? We all want to live a happier life, right? So seeking out that joy can help us do it. I think that's great. Now I want to talk about something specific as well, because you focus on a lot of things, these objects, the art of the table. But I really appreciate on your Instagram, you do these little lessons, and I've seen a couple. There's one that I saw not too long ago about the vodka glasses. I want to talk to you about how you go about sourcing glassware here, because I know you go to a lot of brocante, and for listeners, that's like these not garage sales, but antique shops. And how would you translate brocante?
Garage sales, I just say it's just a flea market.
A flea market. Thank you. That's exactly the word I was looking for. I love watching you do this when you put things up on Instagram. Can you talk to the listeners about what you look for and how you go about sourcing glassware?
Yeah, so I've learned so much about glassware in my time here. And the number one thing that I could say of all, the lessons that I've kind of picked up on is sort of this idea of having a collection of mix and match glassware. I think, I feel like it's super French to have mix and match glassware, but like, most of the people that I go visit, they're picking up glassware from their family, from their past, from flea markets, from the brocante. And, for me, that's why I love when I'm picking up the glassware, whether it's the coupes, mix and match coupes or wine glasses. There's kind of, it's nice because, when someone comes to your house, everyone has a different glass. Nobody mixes up their glass. It makes it's such a like layered texture experience, as opposed to like when you go to an event and everyone has the exact same like big bowl glass. So that's something that's, very like I just can't get away from, the love of mix and match glassware. But also, I've learned a lot being out there. I have this video about the vodka glasses, because it seems like such a simple glass, but has the heavy bottom. And why does it have the heavy bottom? Because you put it in the freezer to keep the vodka cold. But just learning about the different glassware has given me a different approach. So now when I go out and I see glassware, that vodka glass is not just a boring glass to me. That heavy bottom has a meaning, whether it's a simple glass or it's a little beveled, a sad little glass sitting there by itself is not just a one glass. It's a chance to add to a mix and match collection. Also, like the port glasses are very not popular in America, but there are a plethora of small port glasses in flea markets. It's because they're kind of out of fashion because people want like a bigger bowl for their wine. Mm-hmm. But I collect those glasses because they're great for my children. They love having their little wine glass, filled with their juice or like their water or whatever, whenever they're joining us at the table. So I find great uses for those small glasses. And it's just been, as you go out there, you just see the, you know, the different styles, the different shapes, and you ask questions and you learn about them, or, you know, I go through catalogs and try to understand their original purpose and, you know, and use them for that purpose, but also, you know, adapt to modern day.
Yeah, I think that's great. I love the mix and match as well. I think that's something that's been, it's been really popular with cocktail lovers for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, just finding these really unique pieces, these unique kind of cut glass coupes that we're doing cocktails in. And yeah. And so it just, it really, when you said layered, that's exactly it. It adds to when I have people over, it's really nice. Everybody yeah. gets their own individual glass. I also really love it because it just ecologically sound, right? It's not like, oh God, we only have two of these glasses left or one or three.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, just, you know, shove those by the wayside. It kind of gives a reason to give purpose and life to these glasses that might not be as loved because they don't fit into a perfect
Absolutely.
Set of four or six. So yeah. Yeah.
And
I think
also,
that's
like,
awesome.
I mean, having a set is so, I don't know, like I'm, yeah, just like having a set for me just seems so like everything is the same.
Yeah.
And everything doesn't have to be the same. Just like, you know, your life and the people bring into your life. I like, that's why I say like it feels textured and layered, because I like, you know, seeing the different styles and cuts and
yeah. Well, everybody's got their own personality. Everybody's got their own glass. I saw something recently and it actually made me think of you. It was something I saw on Instagram, and it was this couple, and they were showing what they did for their wedding. And so for their wedding, they went and sourced, I don't know, some like 200 mix match champagne flutes. And so everybody
Oh, nice.
at the wedding got their own specific champagne flute. And I just thought, that's just really lovely. I mean, it's just probably was a lot of fun for them to do that. And,
Absolutely.
And again, it just made repurposed all of these like random one-offs all over the place. So that always makes me happy if we can also be a little green in our consumption. So very cool.
Yeah,
okay, before I keep going down that rabbit hole, I want to talk a little bit about aperitifs. I know in Joie, you talk a little bit about French aperitifs, and I wonder if you've got some tips that you can share with our listeners about how to make a perfect French aperitif.
Yeah, so you're referring to like, you know, the favorite French pastime, having apéro. We call it apéro here. You know, that lovely moment before dinner. And I, you know, I say there's kind of like different ways to go about it, right? It's the apéro is a moment to whet the appetite and not to spoil it if you are just having like a true, you know, apéro moment. And, you know, you can keep it very simple with like some chips and some nuts and some crunchy things, maybe some crudité, a little dip, and, you know, some light cocktails, some champagne, some white wine, some Lillet. And then if you want to take it to the next level and you want to have like a bigger apéro, and it's, you know, what we call an apéro génitoire here, which is, you know, it's an apéro moment that sort of like evolves into, you know, a dinner. And it's not a sit down dinner, which is what I really like about, you know, the French apéro génitoire, because it's, you know, less pressure, it's very light. You know, you have the charcuterie in there, put the cheese in, get some baguettes, you know, bring it in a little bit more full, and all the snacking and the nibbling and the talking, you know, you're full. It's kind of becomes a dinner moment. So, you know, you just decide which one you're having and I love the no pressure of just like, we're having some light drinks and some nibbles, some light nibbles. And of course, you know, in my Madame de la Maison way, I need to make it like pretty, because I feel like any moment needs to be kind of pretty to me. And so I make sure that I collect apéro servers and, you know, cutting boards that I find, you know, pretty, so that you're just pulling it out of your cupboard, but it seems like a really special moment, you know, because you've added some linens and some cocktail napkins or all these pretty elements that you've collected.
Lovely. Now you also have, you've got a shop connected to your Instagram account, correct? So people can maybe, you know, they don't have to go and source these things that you're spending all this time finding the perfect, you know, mix and match glasses and cutting boards. So people can go also and look on your Instagram and buy these things, right?
Absolutely. Yes. I do the collecting. So, you know, and curating, so you can, it's a nice, you know, nicely curated collection that you can go through.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. I mean, every time I look at it, I think, oh, Yeah, it's what I aspire to when I do when I do my flea market shopping. And do you ship to the US as well? Because I have a lot of
I
listeners in the
do,
US.
yeah.
Okay,
I would
great.
say 90% of what we do is shipping to the States.
Okay, excellent. Now, for people here in
Yeah.
Paris, I know, well, I guess everybody everywhere can see your work on Instagram, and they will be able to see it soon in Joie. I mean, just kind of get a more of a taste of it there. Is there any place else here in Paris where people can see your work? Like, did you help Allison and Jennifer with some of their glass sourcing at their new bar, Abrico?
They did buy some glassware from me. The little cordial glasses were a bunch that I had collected over the years, so they have a nice, cute collection. You can also buy my linens at Landline, that lovely general store that had so good for presents. I have linens there, Carolyn from Landline. So that's one of my favorite little stores to find unique things. So yeah, I'm mostly online, but you know, if you want to buy like products, you know, it's online and then you can pick up in Paris. And at that store.
Okay, great. Are there any tips like for people like me who I really do love going to the Brocante and going to the flea market and, you know, even looking online at different sort of French sites for vintage tableware? And I don't want you to give away all your trade secrets, but is there anything that you can share with listeners who also like to do that and kind of want to do a little DIY, not just look at your shop, but, you know, do it on their own for how to really source interesting, you know, worthwhile things.
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't, there's no, for me, there's no such thing as trade secrets because, you know, no one can do what I do in the way I do it. Everyone does their thing their own way. And, you know, a lot of something that people tell me a lot is like, you know, I go to the flea market and they're like, just went to that one. How did you see that same stuff? Everyone has their own eye of what they are looking for. So what I would say, you know, for your own eye when you go to the flea market, if you live here or if you don't live here, you frequently go to flea markets, and what I love that the French do is that they frequently go there for inspiration and then in the process find something. And when you're there, you start to kind of see things you like, maybe kind of see, oh, I saw that at another flea market and I regret not getting it. And then you start to understand the pricing. But an important thing is I give, you know, I give, in the book, I give a list of tips for antique shopping, but you know, some of the main points you need to remember are just use your imagination. You know, something might look kind of dirty and busted up, but you can clean it up, you can reupholster, you can polish. You know, a little bit of patina, a dent here or there is not the end of the world. It adds charm to it. It's part of that object story. But you know, so I would say, you know, when you're looking and you're using your imagination, you know, a box of, you know, depending on, you know, what your tastes are, but you know, a box of glassware, you might look through that and the seller just didn't feel like putting those out on the counter. So you might find a really wonderful gem peeking into that box. So use your imagination, be willing to dig. Definitely just strolling through a flea market in Paris, even if you don't have any intention to buy, is a great way to kind of, you know, train your eye and see what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah, I think well, both of those. I love the use your imagination. I find that, yeah, it's nice to imagine things out of that context because when you see one thing that's maybe kind of beat up amongst a whole bunch of other things that are, but think about it sort of like against the backdrop of your beautiful, like nicely set table, and things look different when they're out of that context. And
But
yeah.
also, I think also with using your imagination, it's like something like, yes, because they're advertising something, well, these are oyster forks, but maybe you love the decoration on those oyster forks. Guess what? Oyster forks are really also great if you have like a little coupe of like berries or dessert, you know, like the nice little tines of that fork could also be used as a dessert fork, even though it is an oyster fork. So, you know, use your imagination in that sense of just, you know, I love this object. I think it's so beautiful. Like, you know, what else can I use it for? In addition to like, you know, being able to realize that things can be cleaned up and, you know, given a new story, but also, as I said before, multiple uses for everything.
Yeah, well, I really like that. Is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners about Joie, your new book, or anything else in general? Maybe where they can find you, where they can follow you, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the book, I really hope that people receive the book and realize that You know, there's so many things you can learn and you can adapt to your own life, as simple as like, you know, stepping away from your desk and taking lunch, because, you know, that's going to bring you more joy than being hunched over your computer. You know, understanding that saying no sometimes is a yes for yourself, and that alone can bring you joy. You know, how we love the French, how they say no all the time. Well, that's self-preservation. Yeah. And it's self-preservation, and that is joy in itself. So I hope that people kind of realize that this book are just, you know, it's, you know, my story is telling a little bit of my life, but also, you know, what I've learned here. So I think it's a little part personal, part self-help in a way, part, you know, voyage, you know, inspiration for traveling. So I hope that everyone can pick it up and, you know, and take something from it.
Well, inspiration. I think that they will be able to. Listeners, I have not seen the book, but I've seen PDFs of parts of the book, and it's beautiful. And what I've seen, I'm just super impressed by and very inspired by. So I encourage you all, I'll put a link to the book in the show notes. And I can't remember, it's coming out later this month in April, correct? I can't remember, yes, the exact date.
It comes out April 18th.
Okay.
And we'll have a, you know, pre-order incentive. So if you follow me online at Madame de la Maison on Instagram, or my personal Instagram, which is just Azure Key, which is more sort of like my travels and family. They are sort of merged, but not. So you can find me on both accounts, and, you know, will be news about where I'll be traveling to for the book tour and all that kind of great stuff.
Excellent. I will put links to that in the show notes. And before we start to wrap up, I know that you've got a cocktail of the month that you're going to share with listeners. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and tell us what you brought for us.
Yeah. So I'm sharing a cocktail that, from my friend Allison, who just opened this cocktail bar in Paris called Apricot. And I love all of their cocktails, but this one's kind of fun because, you know, Negroni is having like a moment, and she calls it kind of like a Frenchified Negroni. And it's called the Blanche d'Evreux. And it's equal parts Navy Strength Gin, Salers Gentian, and Lillet Blanc. To one part triple sec. So she uses a kumquat triple sec, which I probably would never make, so I just use a regular triple sec. And you stir it, strain over a big ice cube, and then you just garnish it with the lemon twist. So it's kind of a fun, different Frenchy Negroni.
Excellent. And actually, I have to say, when I did see you at Abrico not that long ago, I did order that drink, so I can say to the listeners, I can fully support that one. So I'll put the recipe
Perfect.
To it in the show notes. And like you, I'm also a big fan of the ladies behind Abrico and the bar. So I'll also put a little link to the bar and a link to my recent write-up there for listeners who want to have a little bit more background on it. So I think with that, we're getting close to the end of our half hour. And do you want to just tell listeners? So you mentioned your Instagram, Madame de la Maison, and your personal Instagram. Is there any place else where people can find you or should be kind of following or stalking you online so they can get their fix of vintage tableware?
I would say when you go to my website, madamedelamaison.com, you'll get a notification to sign up for our newsletter. And our newsletter is really great because if you're interested in buying the antiques, what I do is the newsletter goes out. It has all the new antiques that are in the shop that I've just photographed and added to the shop. And it's, you know, exclusive to newsletter subscribers for like 24 hours before I, you know, maybe share them on social media. So half of the time, you know, like if I post 10 objects in the newsletter, you know, maybe only two are left by the time it makes it to Instagram. Oh. So if you're interested in my antiques, definitely, you know, be a part of that newsletter and, you know, add me to your contact list so it doesn't go to spam.
Excellent. That's a very good tip. I don't know if I'm subscribed to your newsletter, but I will be now. So, thank you for that. And thanks very much for taking the time to talk to me. It was really, really a pleasure, and I can't wait for the book to come out. So, and I'm looking forward to, you know, more drinks in the future at Abrico and elsewhere.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
And with that, I think we are coming to the end of our half hour. So I'm just going to say big thanks to World Radio Paris for editing and production. Big thanks to Sun Little for the music that we use. As usual, I do remind you to drink responsibly. And if you are looking for more cocktail news in between episodes, you can find me at the 52 Martini site, fitch2martinis.com. If you'd like to carry me around in your pocket, you can download the iOS app, Paris Cocktails, which is a guide to Paris cocktail bars. And hopefully we'll have an Android version coming soon. And you can find Paris Cocktail Talk wherever you listen to it now, on iTunes, World Radio Paris, on my site, and wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what we're doing, I encourage you to leave a review wherever you're listening, because apparently that helps people find it and reassures me that somebody's actually out there listening and it's worth continuing with the podcast. So anyway, I look forward to next month's episode. And until next time, cheers.